You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
I just have to share this because I thought it was kind of an interesting stat. They went out and surveyed a whole bunch of people, and they found that 1 in 4 Americans would love to have a professional biographer write the story of their life.
Oh, God. Your life isn't that interesting.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that. I'm thinking it. I didn't want to verbalize
it.
But it's like, they said that younger people were actually twice as likely as older people to say they'd want a biography about them. And they say it's probably because when you're younger, you expect that you're going to be doing exciting things with your life. While the rest of us are like, nah, this is pretty much it, man.
This is it.
What you see is what you get.
That's right. Yeah. Oh,
that's funny. Kind of fun. You know, and I have to laugh at myself because I have compiled a whole bunch of stuff because I'd like to do a radio memoir. Because I've been in the business for multiple decades, and I've got a collection of stories of things that have happened that are hilarious stories about the ups and downs and the funny things that happen in radio. And I wanted to do a radio memoir. The only thing that has held me back is because I sit there and I go, really, who the hell would want to read that?
Right. Yeah.
Who would?
Because again, maybe it's some like, people maybe it's just would. Funny to you because you're in the industry. And you're
well,
like, oh.
I mean, they know these are truly funny stories, but I think that, and then I see other memoirs that are out there of people you've never heard of that write memoirs, and people are like, oh my God, that was so inspiring. So, I don't know, I may or may not do it. But anyway, 25% of us want a biography written about our lives.
This is the
story of Jeremy. He was born in Littleton.
I'd have a pretty solid chapter, like, when I had worms. I think that'd be a pretty good chapter.
That's a good chapter.
I went through that. You know, honestly, there are some pretty quirky and fun, like, family stories, you know, that I think could be relatable and things like that. David Sedaris does that a lot, where he rags on his family a lot. And I think mine would be more like that, all the ridiculous family crap that's happened over the years.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I keep warning that I'm going to do it, so maybe I'll do it before the end of the year.
I don't know.
Whatever. It'll be $9.99 available at your local bookstore. Let's talk about your dog. We could write a book about your dog's travails.
Yeah, I was chatting just a little bit ago. We did the whole Easter egg hunt over the weekend, and we found out that the dog ate easily 10 hard-boiled eggs that were hidden out in the yard, and we were up
shells
all night.
Shells
and all. I mean, the whole thing. So she's this little dog. She's, I don't know what she is, 30 pounds, whatever, but she's got, you know, maybe a dozen eggs in her. That's a lot for a little dog to try to digest. So we were up all night, and she was having, you know, poopy issues and things like that. And I'm wondering today if we need to take her to the vet for that issue, because I think she's a little backed up, honestly, because I don't want to get into details. I think something's wrong. So we might be taking her in today.
She's got some clogged plumbing.
I think she's the eggshells are
clogged.
Not digesting.
You got to do a little
properly.
Rubber rooter on your dog, man.
I could probably, you know, we still have some rubber gloves left from our previous dog where we had to milk the glands.
I wonder which end the veterinarian would go through, down the throat or into the stomach or up
probably
the other
in the
end.
Rear. Can you do like little doggy suppositories to get things moving? And that's probably the easiest route. Anyway, I'm not a vet.
For you, not for
I'm
them.
Not a vet. I don't know.
How much is that going to run you, buddy?
I don't know. I mean, that could be a $500 trip. And this
is
on top
getting
of
getting something else done.
That's on top of this Friday we're going in, because over the past couple weeks she's had extremely bad breath, and we went rooting around in her mouth and found a back tooth that's like cracked in half, and it's like black, and you can tell it's infected, and food or whatever eggshells are up and in it.
I remember you telling me when you discovered this. So she's going in to get a little
going
tooth
do
extraction.
That, and we got the little list of what it could potentially be. A low of like $750, they say, or you could top out. Probably is what we will be doing at the $1,000 mark, because while she's in there, we're going to go ahead and get her updated on her shots and get her teeth cleaned and this. So it's going to be $1,000 at least this week just on the dog, and not counting if we have to go in for the eggshell incident. So it could be $1,500, $2,000 this week by the time it's all said and done on a goofy dog.
You know, the thing is, a lot of us are big talkers. You know, when the pet is perfectly healthy, we're like, I ain't paying that dog or that cat's just gonna have to march off to, you know, never never land. And then something happens, and you're like, okay, I'll pay.
Oh, I got to do. Her breath is really bad. Well, and you look at her, it's like you got a tooth that's in half. You know, she's probably in pain, and her breath is very bad, and it's extremely embarrassing.
Well, dog breath is always bad, though. I mean, you're saying this is excessively?
It's above and beyond. It's like it's like rotten, you know, because her tooth is rotten.
Just about everybody who has some sort of pet, most people have some sort of story about a ridiculous amount that they paid for a ridiculous thing. Your dog cracked a tooth, probably eating another egg or something.
Yeah, stick.
And now it's going to cost you $1,000.
Yep.
I had a cat one time that cost me $350 because it inhaled a blade of grass.
That's right.
Blade of grass cost me $350 because the cat was eating the grass and did some sort of like hack, and the blade of grass went up through the esophagus up into its nasal cavities and got lodged.
You got to get that out.
Yeah. So I took the cat in because there was obviously something wrong, and the vet comes out about 20 minutes later and says, yeah, it was a blade of grass. Here, $350. Like, what?
What? I could have done it. It's a pair of tweezers.
You couldn't have, though. There's no way I could have done that.
The thing is,
we have to pay these things. And that $350 was easily 25 years ago, so it would probably be $1,200 today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I found is big? Growing up, we never did this. You bought a dog, you took him in for something serious, okay? But you had a dog, and you had the dog for 15 years, and then the dog died. Now they're really big on wellness exams for your animals. I mean, Nicole was even like, we got to take her in for her wellness exam. I'm like, look at her. I mean, this is before the tooth and all that. I was like, look at her. She's well. She's running around. She's young. She's two. A wellness exam that we got to pay now for the dog?
What a racket.
It's a racket, right? You were the same way probably growing up. You got a dog. The dog lived its life. You got its rabies shots maybe, what, once every 5 years? Dog died. There was no
then you
wellness.
Get a new dog.
There's no wellness exams. It's like, you know, with your kids, you take them in for the wellness. You got to do it with your kids.
Listen,
not
on top of that, we got plenty of listeners right now who not only take their dogs in for wellness exams, and maybe they're cats and gerbils and hamsters and parakeets, I don't know, but there's also a lot of our listeners who pay for pet insurance.
Yep.
Now, I used to laugh about that all the time. It's like, what? You're going to pay for pet insurance? Then you start hearing your stories about the tooth for $1,000, but I don't know, is pet insurance a racket because the deductible's like $8,000 a year
right.
or something?
I don't know anything about it. I've never looked into it.
Should I Google that real fast?
Because I seriously am still old school. Like, you get a dog, you give them baths, you feed them the right food, and they're happy for 15 years, and then sadly they move on. You just take care of them on your own.
The headline is, average cost of pet insurance.
It's like a monthly thing.
The average monthly cost of pet insurance plans range from $24 to $86 for dogs, $9 to $30 for cats. So if you go right in the middle, let's say $60 for dogs, that's $720 a year for your dog insurance.
So would you pay that? It would be worth it.
Well, you already would be saving money compared to the egg incident and the tooth incident.
Well, we're not 100% on the egg. She could pass all that today and be fine. But we've had her for 2 years, so we would be overpaying at this point.
Here we go. They say the average, when you take all of the top pet insurers, the average is $45 per month. So that's what, for $540 a year?
Times two, there's $1,080.
Times
two. And we're just going to pay, well, that is
why
for
times
the two. I've had her for 2 years. So we would have paid $1,080 in pet insurance, where today, this Friday, it's going to be $1,000. So we're kind of breaking even. Right?
Well, you know what? We're going to be getting at least a dozen Facebook messages that say the same thing. You can't put a price.
I know.
On the life and wellness of your little fur baby.
After you're sending those messages, send us messages about like how much you had to spend on your animal. What happened? You know, thousands of dollars. I want to know the stories, you know, and what you had to do and how much it cost you.
We're just Some people are like writing in, there's like, you can't be talking bad. We're not.
I'm curious. We don't know.
We're curious. We don't know. This is what we do on this show. It's like you're at a happy hour with friends. We may not know, but we still talk about stuff.
A lot of constipation remedies, too, for my dog. Thank you. Leniva, Jeremy says, Jeremy, give Goldie some canned pumpkin. Helps with constipation. Thank you very much.
Hope you double check all these things before
Was it Kim? I think it might have been Kim. Try feeding your dog plain Cheerios. When my dog gets constipated, I feed her plain Cheerios mixed with her regular dog food. And
so now you're getting home remedies.
Happens if I mix the Cheerios with the canned pumpkin?
Oh, my God. Come out her ears.
That's when I call Zero Res to come help me out, I think.
Corinne says, I used to blah, 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 pet insurance. I didn't think it made sense until we found out my puppy has epilepsy.
Oh.
I've never heard of animals having epilepsy. That's interesting. I just wrote back and I said, look, it's true with all insurance, even for humans with insurance. You buy it and you hope that you never have to use it. I mean, that's
absolutely
the whole thing with insurance, right? Oh, we got a lot of calls on this, too. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Christine, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for calling your boys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
So, we have two puppies, and we got pet insurance for them, and it was a really good thing that we did. Because you never know what the dog might accidentally eat or anything. And one time our 5-month-year-old puppy ingested something and we had to take her to the emergency doctor. And she had to stay overnight. And the bill was almost $1,500. And we met our deductible through that. But also with our insurance, it covers them getting their shots, getting them neutered, and having them go in for their wellness checks that you guys were talking about.
Yeah,
as well.
So it covers all that. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Christine, we got to run. Thank you very much for that call.
Right,
somebody else wrote in and said with the insurance they checked into, it only paid for the wellness exams and it didn't pay for emergency visits.
Well, I don't like that at all.
I
want it for the emergency visits.
That's not good insurance.
Like Hannah's, who says our cat had a urinary tract blockage a few weeks ago, 2-night stay at the vet, catheter, yada, 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 grand total, $4,200. Gee. A little kitty catheter.
But you know, you gotta pay it.
Maria,
we don't want them to be in pain.
Maria said we paid $8,500 for my dog because she ate a few ibuprofens and she had to stay overnight a few nights to get monitored. Ibuprofen is super toxic to dogs. $8,500. Ouch.
Here comes Kaylee on the phone. Kaylee, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
So what can you say?
Well, I have to say, like, I think it depends on the dog you have and what kind of things it's, because my grandparents had spent over $25,000 getting a heart replaced on their dog.
What?
Wait. What? Are you saying a heart transplant on a dog?
Yes, they did.
Is that really a thing, or are you pulling our legs?
Made up.
I'm serious. They were super sentimental to the dog, and it was my grandpa's brother's dog. And he put all his money on the trust fund to the dog. So the dog came in to like $40,000. So when they found out he could get a heart transplant for $25,000, they were like, we'll just drop it.
What? How old was the dog?
He was 14 years old.
14.
And he lived for another 6 years.
Well, like 6 years, that's good.
You know, gave that dog a heart transplant. Sounds like a story a grandpa would tell you when you're a kid, and
right,
you would believe it.
He's like, also, don't eat watermelon seeds because a watermelon will grow in you.
Yeah, it was a little crazy when he told me. I didn't believe him.
That's nutty. I have never I didn't even know they could do that.
It starts with the nuttiness with somebody leaving the dog $40,000. I mean,
that's not unusual, though. A lot of people leave their dogs, money, like a big chunk of money for them to be taken care of.
Kaylee, thanks for being on the show. Hope we have a fun day.
Kaylee.
Thank you so much for your time. Do we want to throw in one more? Dan? Hello, Dan.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, dude.
Hey.
What's up?
So my one and only experience with pet insurance was my dog got loose on a hot summer day and ran his paws raw, presumably on the hot pavement, and we had to take him to the emergency vet, and I can't remember the exact, but it was somewhere between $500 and $1,000, and I submitted the claim, and by the time it was all said and done between what they didn't cover the deductible and what they limited, what the amount that they would cover, I got a refund check for $5. So that was
like, we got a five. We got five for you. We got this.
I hope you just framed the check and just hung it on the wall.
Oh my gosh, man.
I could not believe it. I mean, obviously, it depends on the company and what kind of coverage you have, but I
do your research.
That is fantastic. Dan, thank you for being on the show, my friend.
I appreciate
you taking the time. A check for $5. You know, completely off subject, but along those lines, I remember one time getting a check from a company, and it might have been an insurance company. It was some sort of refund of a premium payment or something. Anyway, the check, as I recall, was something like 42 cents or 44 cents.
Nice.
So the stamp on the envelope cost more than what they were sending to me.
Yeah.
So I once got a check for like 40-something cents. And I'll tell you what was really good about it was going into the bank with that.
I'd like to cash this.
I said, I'm not sure. I said, do you guys keep a whole lot of cash here? Like, you might need to go get a cart to wheel this out.
Can I get this in pennies?
You know, I recall the teller said, I see this stuff all the time.
So weird.
She might have said, I've seen checks for like 2 cents.
What do you just trash them?
Gotta balance those books, man.